Through the night season. Many have been through night seasons, but God leads his dear children along. That thought, through the night season, was the title to a recording that my wife and my son Wayne III made a number of years ago, a couple of years after God healed my son from a massive brain tumor. And God made that song a real theme in our hearts, that we can trust the Lord, and he is good, and he can be trusted with our entire lives. And so every one of us, I'm sure most listening to me, if you've been a believer for any length of time, you've been through difficult times. And if you responded right, you look back at those times as some of the richest and most important times in your life. And I want to talk about that for just a few minutes here tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want us to look at the matter of trial in our life, especially from the standpoint of the inevitable attacks and problems that we face in the spiritual battle of serving the Lord. According to the doctors at the Good Samaritan Regional Medical Center in Phoenix, Arizona, rattlesnakes thought to be dead can still strike, bite, and kill you. Doctors in Phoenix said they have a large number of patients admitted each year suffering from bites from rattlers thought to be dead. Sometimes the snakes were shot and their heads cut off, but the snake head retains a reflex action. And one study showed that snakeheads could still make striking-type motions for up to 60 minutes after decapitation. Well, doesn't that make you think of Satan? The Bible says that his head was crushed at Calvary. And yet, he still is the god of this world, and though he is able to, we know that he has lost his ability to have power over Christians who are under the control of the Spirit of God, he still has influence in this world, and Christians who are not walking with God can easily be attacked by him. And so if we want to see God work in our lives, we need to realize that the world is going to be constantly in a state of turmoil and trouble. We don't know the origination of the crisis that we have now. We know that God will use it for good, but there probably is great spiritual warfare involved in what's going on. And it could lead, some of the consequences of this, and just some of the great social change that is occurring in our culture, it could lead to some real issues in the days ahead. And this passage here is a great help, and we must learn to think right. A man approached a speaker and said, "You Christians are all brainwashed." Well, the speaker replied back to him, "I think we are all brainwashed to a degree. The important thing is that we Christians choose what we want to wash our brains with." And that is really the thrust here of this passage in 1 Thessalonians. What a great epistle. This is the first epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote, and God had given a great revival there in Thessalonica. In fact, just in the short time that he was there, the people had grown, and they had began to spread out and multiply, and that entire region had been reached with the gospel. It was an amazing thing. And so obviously there was going to be pushback from the evil one, and there was going to be other things that would occur. In fact, it wouldn't be long, and Macedonia, which Thessalonica was in, was going to be experiencing an economic recession. Sound familiar? And they were going to go through some great poverty. And yet we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that these people responded marvelously even to that trial. And so I want us to look here at the need to be awake to danger. We need to be watching. And the first way that we can respond right when pressures come is to protect through edification. Now, this is really a point for us as believers to take to heart in regard to one another. This morning we talked about unity among the body of believers. It is the showing to the world of the unity of the Trinity and the glory of the Trinity and the love of the Trinity. And here that is manifested in the burden of one Christian for another. Let me read the entire text and then we'll look at this first point. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. The Apostle Paul loved these folks, and he had gone from the Macedonia down to the southern part of the Grecian peninsula and was at Athens, a very pagan city, of course. And some of the men had finally come down from Macedonia, and he was willing to be left alone to send Timothy back to the church of Thessalonica to protect them from the suffering that they were going through. And so he was sent to strengthen their faith. He says in verse 2, he says, my brother and minister of God, speaking of Timothy, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. The word establish means to set fast, to give stability, to strengthen. And so he knew that Timothy coming would strengthen their faith in the Word of God that had been taught them, and that if they would believe God, they could go through anything. Now, folks, when pressures come, it is very easy for us to falter in our faith. And that's why we need one another. I love the Ephesians 4 passage where everyone in the church is to allow the leadership gifts to perfect, equip them so that they can do the work of the ministry, so they can edify and build up the body of Christ. And my friends, I just want to exhort you. I am sure there's Christians right now struggling with their faith. They cannot figure out what's going on around them. Things seem so out of order. And then they may be struggling about circumstances in their family or maybe economic circumstances. People you know may be losing their business or having other things that are very, very difficult at this time. And it's very easy for believers to begin to falter, begin to have their hearts failed of them because of fear. There may just be the health fear that is very real, and faith can be really weakened. We need to come alongside, just like Timothy was sent by Paul, to strengthen, to just give the Word of God, to pray and let folks know that we are praying, to remind them of the goodness of God, to do what we can to maybe meet a need. It's exactly what Timothy was doing. And one of the great ways that trials and suffering can be handled is by the people of God responding as they ought to respond. And also we see there in verse 2 that he was sent to encourage their faith, to comfort, to be called alongside. Same word basically that makes up the paraclete, the comforter, the one that Jesus said would come, the Holy Spirit. And he comes to enable us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to give us wisdom. And that's the kind of ministry that we can have. Now, here's what's exciting. Now, it's wonderful to have somebody care about you like Timothy. Here he comes back and he gives them the Word of God and he's a blessing to them and he's wanting to encourage them in the faith. But the real encourager is the Holy Spirit. And I want you to remember, if you know the Lord as Savior, you take the Spirit of God with you. Did you know that you can say things that you never intended to say? You can miraculously speak. You can say divine words. Certainly scripture you give is that. But you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak on the behalf of God as an oracle of God. And it's as though Jesus was there, as the Holy Spirit manifests him. And I am sure when those disciples of the Lord that were in Thessalonica, those new Christians, as they were suffering, this was new for them. They had not been through this. And here comes Timothy back. And he was sent by the beloved Apostle Paul. And he exhorts them to follow the Word of God, to have faith in the Word of God. He also comes alongside. And it was as though the Lord had come. And what an encouragement to them. Oh, what a blessing it is for each of us. Barnabas was that way when he went up to Antioch to help those new Gentile Christians in Acts 11:23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And there we have that same word, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit through a believer. You've been a blessing this last week. You need to be that to your family. But what about other people? Are you checking up on them? Those that you have contact with, those that you minister together with in maybe your Bible study or in other aspects of ministry. I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit prompts you, you need to do it. And you just need to go down to your prayer list and be a blessing. Strengthen people's faith. Secondly, we need to prepare ourselves for tribulation so that we can be strong. And that's exactly what Timothy was doing on the behalf of the Apostle Paul. Verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that ye should suffer tribulation, even it as it came to pass, and ye know. Now, the Apostle Paul had been a good discipler. He had warned them that Satan would not take this mighty move of God sitting down, that circumstances would come up that would cause them to be discouraged. And there's a proper way to respond. I love James chapter 1. Most of us could quote by memory these verses in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. That's what we're to do. Reckon it to be joy when you fall into the diverse temptations, all these trials, knowing this, that God's going to do something, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking, wanting nothing. We need to embrace suffering. We need to understand that this is exactly what God can use in our life. It may come as an attack from Satan. People have often asked me about the trial with my son Wayne. Did I think it was God's direct working, or do I think it was a satanic attack? I usually say probably all of the above. I don't know where the origin was. Definitely could have been Satan trying to bring me down at a very key time in my development as a pastor. But God used it for glorious good and is continuing to use it in my life. But friends, I tell you what, Satan can really get a hold of us if we don't count it joy. And so Timothy came, and he's in his encouragement of strengthening their faith, he needed to tell them that they must embrace suffering. Now, we've got to make the decision we're not going to be thrown by trials. Little five-year-old Jessica became a bit frightened as lightning flashed and thunder cracked just as she was stepping out of her evening bath. The lights began flickering as she was getting into her pajamas. She remembered the other times the electricity had gone out and they had lit candles. Now she asked if she could please sleep in Mommy's room because of the storm. Before kissing her parents goodnight, Jessica prayed this, "Dear God, I hope it doesn't thunder. And I hope the lights don't go out." But then after a brief pause, she continued, "But I thought it over, and you can do what you want to do in Jesus' name." That's a very simple, childlike perspective on how we need to respond. You can do what you want to do. We don't have to have our way. You know, we've got to figure out what a good life is. And man, there's a lot of things we're fearful of. I remember as a child, one of the things I was fearful of was a brain tumor, and God allowed me to go through, not for myself, but with my son. And it's amazing, the things that you think are so bad, when we respond right, God can use them to such good. And so we've got to be willing to embrace suffering. And we can't let ourselves be discouraged by what other people say. You know, when bad things happen, and I'll tell you that what, there's a lot of negative talk right now. We could easily be discouraged. And as Christians, we can't let ourselves get down by some other Christian who is faithless at this point. Did you know that a man was once court-martialed and sentenced to a year imprisonment for being a discourager? It happened to the Boer War. That was in South Africa at the siege of Ladysmith. The fortunes of the town and garrison were hanging in the balance. And this civilian would go along the lines and speak discouraging word to the men who were on duty. He struck no blow for the enemy, not one. He was just a discourager, and that at a critical time. The court-martial judged it a crime to speak disheartening words in an hour like that. Folks, when suffering comes, when things don't go our way, the Bible says, count it all joy. Embrace suffering. And right along with that, expect suffering. That's what Paul said. We don't want you moved by these afflictions, for you know that we taught you about this. We told you you would suffer tribulation, and it has come to pass. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If we're going to serve the Lord, there are going to be issues. God lets tribulation come into our life to strengthen us. Faith always brings tribulation. And as we serve God, there's going to be pushback, and we must understand in the days ahead, it's more clearly seen than ever, there really could be persecution here in this country. But all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, this fact has often been quoted about the Nicene Council. Vance Havner said that not more than a dozen of the 318 delegates had not lost an eye or a hand, or did not limp upon a leg shrunk in its sinews by the burning iron of torture. We are here today because many believers embraced and expected suffering. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy, blessed are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is even evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples that if we're going to be identified with him, we are going to suffer with him. And then Timothy was sent to encourage, to help them understand persecution, and then to prevent satanic deception. Look with me at verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, Paul didn't want to be alone in Athens, but he sent Timothy back. He said, I sent to know your faith. Were you still trusting God? Were you seeing God work in your life? Lest by some means the tempter, Satan, have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. He knew that Satan was going to try to destroy this mighty move of God. And his great burden was that that would not occur. And so Timothy comes and he strengthens them and encourages them and comes alongside of them in their faith. And he lets them know that these tribulations were exactly what they should expect. And then he comes to know how they were doing and to warn them about the very, probably the greatest danger of all, and that's satanic deception. You see, faith is what Satan attacks. He uses deceit and twisted truth and falsehoods to do everything he can to get us off the ground of believing God and living like we ought to live. So we need to exhort one another to live by faith. Ephesians, we often look at as a great spiritual warfare chapter, the conclusion of the doctrine of the church given there in Ephesians. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceits of the devil. And then he goes on to say, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I mean, don't look at the human circumstances. This is against spiritual power. And so we've got to stand, and this is what Timothy and Paul were so concerned about, that they would not have their faith undermined. Those, the wiles, the trickery, the cunning deceit of Satan. And you go on through the spiritual warfare passage, and it's all centered on the Word of God and really believing God. You know, Satan wants to make us think he's bigger than he is. Now, he's all much more powerful than we are, but when we have the Spirit of God in control of our life, he joins us with Jesus, who's at the right hand of the Father over all principality, power, might, and dominion. I mean, Satan is a defeated foe, and we can live in victory. We don't have to let our faith waver. If we'll trust God, we can be encouraged. We don't have to fall for all the deceit of Satan trying to get us to look at human reality instead of divine reality. I've given this illustration before, but I think it is so helpful. At a circus, a huge elephant was tied to an 18-inch stake. Could he not easily have pulled it out of the ground and be free? Sure. But he had tried it when he was just a very small baby elephant. It held him. He was unsuccessful. The elephant had concluded that he could never pull it out of the ground. So there he stood, a massive creature capable of lifting whole trees and yet held captive by a puny stake. Just think of what would happen if we'd believe God. I can't witness. Really? Who told you that? You have the power of God. God will give you the boldness and the openness. The Holy Spirit is the witness. It's His power. Oh, I can't get over this habit. Oh, really? God is able to pull down every stronghold. He's able to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And on we go. We find ourselves tied down by Satan's trickery, by his deceit, by his falsehoods, instead of just being anchored to faith. And so when trials come and all this comes at us, Satan's trying to undermine us and get us our faith and get us discouraged. And so it's very important that we are anchored in the Word and we discern the dangers. That's why Timothy was there. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Oh, Satan beguiles, he deceives, he uses subtlety, that's craftiness and cunningness. And he wants to get our minds corrupted and to get us to think and to get us off of the simplicity, the absolute perfection and the honest truth of God's Word. And he does that all the time. Now, my friends, right now, a lot of messages are coming into us through technology. And we can be discouraged. We can maybe get thrown a little bit. We might be wavering in some things that we hold on to. I trust instead it's the opposite way. I trust you getting stirred. I trust you see the great potential of what God can do, that what the Bible says is true. I hope you're going the opposite way. But you know, folks, we need to be like Timothy. Folks can be very much thrown at this time. And there's all kinds of ways that Satan likes to deceive. He loves to corrupt the gospel. He loves to get people to look at themselves and to not realize the powerful grace of God. He loves to get people to look to soulish Christianity, feelings and emotion and intellect, to try to figure things out instead of really walking with God. By the way, if you notice, it's interesting that a lot of the services that we find that oftentimes substitute emotionalism and experience for genuine spirituality, a lot of those kind of services can't be done because of the limitations today. Livestream just doesn't work real well that way. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to be able to give forward a very straightforward spiritual biblical message that God can cut through and help people see the deceitfulness of soulish Christianity. And on we could go. There's the selfish perspective. You know, we've seen a lot of that in this day. And right now, one of our temptations is we want to go back to normal. We want to be having our needs met, and all kinds of reactions can come. And we want to serve Christ for gain. And Satan loves to get ground, as Ephesians chapter 4 talks about, by us being angry and letting the sun go down upon our wrath, and therefore we give place to the devil. And we can be captured by worldly thinking, and I'm very concerned about this with all the technology that is out there, to view things we ought not view, to live in a secular mindset, when we could be growing and nurturing ourselves. There's so much good, even through technology, we can have, and we don't have to be corrupted. But we got to understand, we get discouraged, we cope by escaping, and Satan is able to come in the middle of a trial and get us off of the ground of faith. He does that all the time. And then he can get us to be introspective. He's the accuser of the brethren. He loves to come in and to get us viewing ourselves. My friends, we all fall short of the glory of God, but we're saved by grace, and we live by grace. And if we'll truly confess our sin, God will meet our need, forgive us, cleanse us, and we can have victory. And we don't need to let Satan get us to be looking inward at ourselves, where we need to instead look to the Lord, be honest, deal with sin, get it settled, and then claim the forgiveness that is in him. So it's a wonderful passage here. We need to be very aware of the danger that is lurking around. We need to be awake to it. And we need to see Paul's discernment here of sending Timothy to strengthen and encourage faith, to help them embrace their suffering and to expect it and to have the right attitude, count it all joy, and then to realize that Satan is going to come in during a hard time and try to get us off the ground of faith, off of the ground of right thinking. So friends, let's be like those hymn writers. Instead of reacting to the suffering, they allowed that to drive them to the Lord. Now, in each case, was there not a battle in their thinking? Absolutely. Several of them went through a very difficult time before they came to peace and met with God, and the Word of God began to rise up in their soul, and then they were able to express in song their faith in the Lord. And my friends, let's be men and women of faith. Let's let a song rise up in our heart, and let's realize there is a danger, and let's let our faith be strong, and let's not react to what's going on, and let's not let Satan take the advantage, but let's move forward by faith to be prepared for all that God has for us. Let's bow for prayer.